Can you hear me? Somebody on the back says, "Oh, shucks, I'm leaving now." I can hear him. So in working with the association, I was in this church, visited a number of times, back when Phil Young was here and Terry Kirby was here. We had some meetings downstairs. Some of you are good cooks, because I know I've eaten some of the meals that you fix downstairs and some covered dish meals. So, you know, like I said to Ed, you know, many of you know me. And those of you who know me say, "Oh, no." And those of you who don't say, "Oh, I'm glad." But one other thing I want to share with you. Where did Stephen go? He ran out? Okay. I'm not going to talk about him. I'm going to talk about one of his predecessors, Jeremy Garrett. Now, I remember seeing Jeremy as he grew up. But the part about Jeremy that I can share with you is that I performed the wedding for his parents, because I came to town from Damascus, Virginia. I was pastor of First Baptist Church, Damascus. There are some things that are in the background for us. I want to share with you some thoughts this morning about a relationship. In my ministry through the years, seemingly God has given me some words along that have kind of directed where I was going in my preaching and how I was presenting myself to my people and that type of thing. Some years ago, the idea was to be sensitive to what God has for us to do, to be sensitive to what other people are doing around us. So for a number of years, the thought behind what I was preparing to preach and share had that idea of sensitive to it. In the last few years, I have found a new word. And that word I want to use this morning to think about some things. And that has to do with relationship. Relationship to God, relationship to the Holy Spirit, relationship to the church, and relationship to one another. One of the things that we find out as we go along is that there is a certain amount of responsibility on the part of all of us, and probably if the Lord continues to lead in what I share with you next Sunday, it will talk about what we recognize as not just our responsibility to God, but what God has done in our journey to keep us going where we are and what we're doing. In a sense, His relationship to us, His responsibility that He accepted when He called us, and we're all called. Not maybe as ministers, not maybe as deacons, not maybe as teachers, but we're all called as Christians. That's what the word means. We're called out to be His children. So the real value of personality, the real value of understanding who we are, is not found in whether I'm short or tall, because you had the tall one last week, you get the short one this week. None of you were here to see Walter, you had to look a little higher last week. It doesn't have to do with our personality. It has to do with the relationship. The value of life is found in what it is in relation to each other, in relation to God, in relation to friends. And with that in mind, I'd like for you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. So turn to Acts and look back one page, whichever one you want to do. And I'll try to keep this short and sweet so you can get out in time to beat the Methodists to the restaurants, okay? Or the Presbyterians, or whoever. Starting with verse 15. Now, I'm reading from the Christian Standard, what we laughingly say, the Baptist Bible. But this is not the King James, so you will see that. When they had eaten breakfast, very simple. See, God comes to us in our everyday life. When they had eaten breakfast. Oh, yes, it was on the seaside. He'd had coals of fire. He'd asked for the fish that they'd caught that night. And you know, it was that thing that he was doing. When they'd eaten breakfast, he said to Simon Peter. Now, I want you to note something here. He says, Simon, son of John, or son of Jonah, as is in the King James, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said to him, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs, he told him. The second time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, he told him. And he asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. Now, the next few verses talks about the death of Peter. I want you to skip down to verse 20. So Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus loved following him. That disciple was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and asked, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. Relationship. You see, Jesus didn't call him Peter. He called him Simon, son of John. Remember when they first met and Simon came to Jesus, Jesus changed his name. He said, no longer will you be called Simon, a little pebble, but you'll be called Peter, a rock. Now, some things had happened to Peter, to Simon. As a matter of fact, he wasn't acting much like a rock. He was acting a little more like mud. You know, he just wasn't being even that boisterous man that he'd been as a disciple. So Jesus is asking him, in the position that he finds him at this point, if he loves him. Now, there's a lot of discussion about why he asked him three times. Sometimes we know that this is a possibility because Jesus denied him three times. Each time was a question having to do with love that referred back and reminded Peter of when he denied his Lord. That's a possibility. Some of the commentaries that I read talked about the differences in the word love. That Jesus asked him, do you agape me? See, I know a few Greek words, but that word means the love like God has for us, the love like Jesus has for us. And that was the question, do you agapes me? Do you love me like I love you, like God loves you? Do you love me like that? And Peter answered, or Simon answered, Lord, you know that I phileo. Y'all know where the city of Philadelphia gets its name? It's the city of love. Phileo, the philly of that is the word love. That's the love of a friend. I say to all of you, I love you. And I love you as a friend, as a child of God, as a friend before God. But God says, I love you. Jesus says, I love you with the love that is only that which God can give, which God can make possible in our lives. The second time, Jesus said, do you love me? Same word, agape. Same response with phileo. The third time Jesus asked the question, he changed the word. No longer agape, the love like that comes from God, the love that he had for Peter. He said, do you love me like a friend? And that's when Peter was grieved, because he realized that he had not moved up to the standard that Jesus was asking him to, but Jesus had had to move down to the standard that Peter or Simon was talking about. But even then, Simon was saying, but you know that I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. Sometimes we can't express to God what we feel. Sometimes in our prayer, we cannot express to God what we want. As my part-time job in the work of the kingdom now, I do chaplain work for Mercy. Work out of St. Mary's, Maine, and St. Mary's North. And I share with people in times of crisis, and especially in times of death. I was on duty yesterday and last night, and it comes in threes, folks. I was called out three times yesterday and last night for deaths, and dealt with families, and hear them pray. And sometimes hear them get so choked up that they cannot pray. But God says through Paul that he hears even the groanings of the inner being. And I think this is what Peter is saying here. Lord, I can't say it, but you know I love you. Even though I don't use the word you want me to, you know I love you. And I think that comes to all of us. And sometimes we grieve because we cannot say in our relationship to God and in our relationship to one another of the love and express it the way we want to express it. Sometimes we don't use the words that we would like to. But we need to tell one another. We need to tell God, I love you. We need to tell one another, I love you, and be able to do that. He wanted to be able to speak to God. And in each time, when Jesus finishes this question, each time he says, feed my sheep, take care, shepherd my. You see, when we're saying to God, I love you, when we're saying to Jesus, I love you, his response to us then, be about the business the kingdom business that I have called you to do. And again, don't say it's for the music director. Don't say it's for the teacher. Don't say it's for the preacher. Don't say it's for the deacons. It's for every one of us that has been called as Christians. The one call, the major call to all people from God is to be a Christian. That is the calling of life if you're following Him. If you've not followed Him, that's the calling for your life, is to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. These other things that we call a calling is to be set aside for a specific purpose that God has for us. But for all of us, we're called to be about His work, His kingdom's work. So, with this in mind, He was saying, be about My business. Be about My work. And then He used three times three different ideas about following Him. Follow Me. Follow Me. Do what I want you to do. Follow Me. That is the most important thing that we have in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, is to follow Him. That's what the church, He says, this is My church. He said to Peter at one time, upon this rock I will build My church. That rock was not Peter. That rock was the faith that Peter had in Jesus Christ. His church. Do what I have called you, what I want you to do in His kingdom, in His church, My church, Jesus says. Follow Me. Now, one of those statements that's made is that He says, follow Me, and they get up actually. From what the scripture indicates, they get up and they start walking away from where the other disciples were, where they'd had breakfast, okay? And as they go, Peter hears somebody behind them. And the scripture tells us that that person who's following is John, the writer of the gospel. Now, Jesus had talked to him about love. Jesus had talked to him about follow Him. But then I think Peter either wanted to take the pressure off of himself about how he was going to die and what he was going to do and where he was going to be in the kingdom's work. So he says, what about him? Turns around, says to Jesus, what about him? Well, Jesus was very kind. He actually told Peter that wasn't any of his business. He said, if I want him to be here, when I come back, he'll be here. But he says, what you're to do is to follow Me. What is it to you about what's going to happen to John? Oh yes, we're asked to bear one another's burdens. We're asked to be involved in relationships with one another. But when we start trying to control one another, manage one another, Jesus says, that ain't none of your business in good plain English. So what He's asking is that we be attuned, that we be focused on following Him. Following Him. Doing what He has for us to do and be about His work. real sense, Jesus is saying, you go on following me. Looking at Jesus, look to Jesus, follow Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus this time, just like he had twice before. You see, in Luke, the 25th chapter, verse 6, Peter had loaned Jesus his boat. Jesus had asked him to push out a little bit from the land, and Jesus spoke. And Peter realized that what Jesus was saying was for him that time too. And yet he said, depart from me, Lord, for I am unworthy. I'm a sinful man. He was looking at himself. Instead of looking at what God could do for him, he was looking at himself. He realized who he was, but he did not call on Jesus to take care of it. He was still looking at himself. And then in Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 30, the incident out on the lake, when Peter said, let me get out of the boat and come to you. I honestly believe that Peter walked on the water. Some people say he got out and went, phew. No, I think he walked on the water. But then he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. And Jesus reached out and took him by the hand and led him back to the boat. Here it is again. Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and looks back and says, what about him? And Jesus once again is saying, that's not where you go, Peter. You follow me. Don't look at others. Today, I invite you not to look at others, but to look at yourself. What is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? What is he saying to you about your love for him? What is he saying to you today about your traveling, following him? What is he saying to you today about your work in the kingdom? Your work in this place? What is he saying about doing, Jesus saying, doing my work? What is he saying? I can't answer for you. I wish I could, but I can't. If I could answer, I'd make all these plans for you, but no, that's not my place. My place is to challenge you to make it right between you and Jesus. Not to look away and say, oh, what, Brother Joe, what about him? What about her? What about? No. Today it's, what about you? What is your relationship? What is it that God has for you? What do you need to present to him this morning? Say, Lord, I've got this feeling. I've got this way. I've got these things that you need. And what's he saying to you about what he has for you? The future that you have in the church. But preacher, I want the church. No, not I want the church. I want where God wants me to be. And then he will fit you in, like Paul talks about, the stones that are fitted together. So my question today, My challenge to you today is turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and let him show you, you as an individual, me as an individual, what he wants me to do. May we pray together. Our Father and our God, help us today to truly, truly search our own hearts and find where that relationship is between us, between each individual, and Jesus, God, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our midst. Lord, help us today to turn our eyes upon you, to exalt you in our lives. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If there's a decision that you need to make, I'm going to come and stand here at the front. I'll be glad to pray with you, talk with you, whatever needs to be done. But you need to let God speak to you as never before. Let God guide you that relationship to him may be where it's supposed to be. You've got to start at that point. You're saying, hey, I want to know, Joe, I'm all right. No, that's between you and God. Don't tell me. Tell God. Tell God that it's all right. And if it's not, then come here to the altar and make it right with him. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, today, Paul said, is the day of salvation. I'll be glad to meet you here, talk with you, pray with you, help you to make that decision that he's laid upon your heart. But it's your decision today. If you want to talk to me, I'll be here. If you don't, come and pray. Whatever it is that you want God to take care of in your life, it's between you and God today. May we sing together.